I'm Mark Golub, and normally JBS brings you the news. This time JBS itself is in the news in a most troubling and disturbing way. Last week we aired an address I gave at Congregation L'Ador V'Ador in Little Neck, New York. I was invited by the congregation's rabbi, Gordon Yaffe, to speak about what it means to be a liberal Jewish Zionist in the 21st century. The program was well received. Many people wrote me with very positive and complimentary things to say about my talk, which obviously was very gratifying to me. Among the many YouTube comments, there were definitely those who disagreed with me, not to be unexpected. I particularly liked one YouTube viewer's comment where, after criticizing my presentation, he wrote a second comment saying, "I don't agree with Rabbi Golub on anything politically, but he seems like a wonderful person, and I enjoy watching his show." And that's really a wonderful attitude to have, being able to separate between one's disagreement with someone over an issue and one's respect for that individual. And there were many people who wrote comments on YouTube, again, that were most flattering to me, and I thank you very much. YouTube, however, did not share this perspective. And suddenly, the JBS video was removed from YouTube, and in its place, the message you see on your screen went up, stating that my address had been censored for being hate speech. Someone at YouTube, a human being, either decided on his or her own that my presentation was hate speech, or some human being at YouTube created an algorithm which knocks videos off YouTube based on a word deemed by YouTube to constitute hate speech. What was it in my remarks which could possibly have been characterized as hate speech? Many have speculated, and I stress this is speculation, that the words Zionist or Zionism, referring to a commitment to there being a sovereign Jewish state in the Middle East, has been deemed in and of itself to be hate speech by YouTube. And this is not the first Jewish video which YouTube has censored for being hate speech related to Israel. A talk by Alan Dershowitz, on the origins of the State of Israel was also censored by YouTube as hate speech and was removed from the website. Alan's talk was part of the educational work being done by Dennis Prager's online university. And Dennis is now suing YouTube and its parent company, Google, in the United States District Court for Northern District of California. But hate speech has always had a very specific meaning. Hate speech is speech which promotes an action against a group of people, and more specifically, encourages or overtly incites violence against others. This hardly applies to my talk about what it means to be a liberal Jewish Zionist in the 21st century. And the reason this topic is worthy of discussion at this time stems from the sociological reality of American Jewish life today. The fact is, the vast majority of American Jews are most comfortable with the values associated with liberalism. But sadly, contemporary liberalism tends to be critical of the State of Israel and supportive of the claims of the Palestinian people, who are viewed by liberalism as the underdog in their struggle with the all-powerful Israel for the right of Palestinian self-determination. The fundamental, overarching lie inherent in this depiction of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is that the war Palestinians are waging against Israel is not a war of national liberation with the goal of a sovereign Palestinian state alongside the State of Israel in a two-state solution. Israel is not the bad guy because it is unjustly thwarting this noble Palestinian goal. It's all a lie. The construct is a lie. The truth is, the current Palestinian leadership is controlled by an extremist ideology that tells the world exactly what it really wants. It wants a Palestinian state from the river to the sea, meaning from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, with no Israel anywhere on the map of the Middle East. Even more horrifying, no Jew is welcome in this Palestine from the river to the sea. And my friends, to quote Hillel, all the rest is commentary. Now go study. But this is not Jewish or Israeli narrative. This is what Hamas, what the PLO, have each told the world it wants. It's what the BDS movement of Omar Barghouti states publicly. It's what SJP, Students for Justice in Palestine, chant routinely on American college campuses. In the halls of academia throughout America and in liberal American publications, Israel is portrayed as a heartless and wanton occupying power, imposing its will on and denying human rights to Palestinians living on the West Ridge and in Gaza. And the real pity in this vile and distortions of Israeli society, the distortions of Israel's treatment of Palestinians, is that liberal American Jews have been seduced into believing the big lie about Israel and mouth its anti-Semitic propaganda as if it's a reflection of their own Jewish values. And as a result, tragically, the word Zionist, once an iconic expression of every people's right to live in its own sovereign land, free of discrimination and persecution, that word has now become a dirty word. There are those in the American Jewish community who view the word Zionist and the word Zionism with contempt, as if it's impossible to be a liberal Jew and a Zionist at the same time. And it was in this context that I was invited to offer my explanation of what it means to be a Jew, a liberal, and a Zionist, in that order, Jew, liberal, Zionist, and to refute the false and baseless claims that cast Israel as the evil Goliath, brutalizing the poor Palestinian David. In my talk, I explained that in terms of my own self-identity, I am first a Jew, committed to the teachings of the Jewish tradition. But I grew up with an understanding that the liberalism of the 1950s and 1960s embraced the Jewish values that were at my Jewish core. And therefore, I always identified myself as a liberal Jew. And then in my talk, I tried to show how the State of Israel reflects these very same values, Jewish and liberal, and how for me, I don't see how any honest liberal can cast Israel as the bad guy and the Palestinians as the victims of a malevolent Israel. For me, it's a mistake to think of Israel as the Goliath and the Palestinians as the David, when Israel, a teeny tiny country, only 9 miles wide at its neck, a country you can drive from one end to the other in a single day, which is surrounded by millions and millions of Arabs. That's no Goliath. There are 22 Arab countries that make up the Arab League. There is only one teeny tiny Israel. In Egypt alone, there's a population of 95 million. 95 million. In Jordan, more than 9 million. Lebanon, 6 million. Syria, 18 million. Saudi Arabia, 32 million. That's 160 million people living in just five states. In contrast, Israel's entire population is a mere 8.7 million. 160 million in five states compared to 8.7 million in Israel. And of Israel's 8.7 million, about 6.5 are Jewish. The Arab population in Israel is estimated to be roughly 2 million, some 20% of the Israeli population. What's the Jewish percentage of population in Egypt, or Jordan, or Lebanon, or Syria, or Saudi Arabia? How many Jews live in those countries? And hopefully most of you know the answer. Virtually zero. Jews aren't permitted to live in Egypt, or Jordan, or Lebanon, or Syria, or Saudi Arabia. If you have a moment, Google how many Jews live in Arab countries. Google doesn't even recognize the question. But 20% of Israeli citizens are Arab citizens. Zero Jews are citizens of Arab countries. 20% of Israel are Arab citizens. By the way, until recently, no Jew was even allowed to visit countries like Saudi Arabia. Certainly no Israeli was permitted to visit. How can any American liberal not be morally outraged by this reality? How can any thoughtful, moral college student on any campus in America not find this reality deplorable and unworthy of any support? And the Palestinian leadership has made it clear, if there ever were to be a Palestinian state on the West Ridge, it would be Judenrein. No Jew would be allowed to live there either. In Arab Hebron today, no Jew is welcome. How can any American liberal support a Palestinian cause that would create a Judenrein state? And again, this is not a Jewish-Israeli narrative. This is historical fact. It's the truth, the painful truth. Painful because, as I said in my talk, the average Palestinian, the Palestinian people, are the real victims. They are literally enslaved by a Palestinian leadership that has made it patently clear they're unwilling to make any territorial compromise with a Jewish state under any circumstance, even for peace. The Palestinian people are being held hostage to a mentality of Palestinian leadership that is committed to being at war with the Jewish state of Israel. A Palestinian leadership that teaches its people Jews are the descendants of monkeys and pigs, are subhuman, promotes hatred for Jews on Palestinian Authority television, teaches young children how to murder Jews, teaches basic arithmetic in Palestinian schools with, if you kill two Jews, and then you kill two more Jews, how many Jews have you killed in total? How does any American liberal support a Palestinian movement led by this kind of inhumane philosophy? In the Palestinian world, gays are thrown off rooftops. How can an American liberal support the Palestinian cause? In the Palestinian world, women are subjugated in ways that resemble the dark Middle Ages. How can an American liberal support the Palestinian cause? And while the State of Israel has made offers over and over again to share the land in a two-state solution, in 1936, when the Jewish community of Palestine accepted the Peel Commission's plan for partition, a two-state solution, in 1947 and 48, when the UN endorsed a partition plan that would have given the Arab world another 23rd Arab state. After the Six-Day War of 1967, when Prime Minister Levi Eshkol, within 2 months of the war, in August of 67, offered to give the Arab League virtually all control of the West Ridge for a state of their own. And the Arab League answer in Khartoum on September 1st was the infamous three no's. The Arab response to Israel's offer of the West Ridge was no peace with Israel, no recognition of Israel, no negotiations with Israel. The Arab League not only refused to make peace with Israel, it even refused to discuss peace with Israel. And this is not Jewish or Israeli narrative. What a manipulative word narrative is. It's used to suggest that there are two limited, legitimate versions to the story. There are no two versions of the, there is fact. This is not narrative, this is truth. Khartoum is an historical fact. If you don't know the word Khartoum, look it up. If you're an American liberal, you can't comment on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict without knowing Khartoum. Khartoum has been the quintessential Arab response to the state of Israel. The Jews have agreed over and over again, we'll share the land. By the way, Jews think it belongs entirely to the Jewish people, but will share the land. The Arab leadership's response is over my dead body, or better said, over your dead body. This is not narrative. This is historical fact. And how in the world could an American liberal, how could any thinking Jew support the position of the current Palestinian leadership? Any Jewish liberal who supports the Palestinian cause must answer how they reconcile the chant from the river to the sea. How does that chant square with any liberal value in the world? This is not Jewish or Israeli narrative. This is fact. American liberals, Jew and non-Jew, American liberals, can't pretend that the Palestinian Authority, that the PLO, that Hamas doesn't really mean what they chant. Of course they do. And as a liberal, and as an American, and as a Jew. I find BDS and SJP to be the most hideous, immoral movements on college campuses today, if not in the world today. There are many Palestinians prepared to live in peace alongside the Jewish state of Israel. They have no chance. And some of those denying them a chance are today's American Jewish liberals, who've been unable to see past the anti-Israel, anti-Semitic propaganda that flows from the corrupt liberal media and which refuses to report the truth. That's the real essence of the tragedy of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And to be a liberal, American, Jew is to be a Zionist, a strong, proud voice supporting the noble state of Israel in the midst of a terrible, tragic war for survival. And no American Jewish liberal ever need be embarrassed to express his or her commitment to the state of Israel as a proud Zionist. That was my talk. So imagine our utter surprise when we learned YouTube had classified my talk as hate speech and took the program down, making it impossible for anyone to watch it online. We were shocked and we were outraged. We immediately filed an appeal with YouTube and issued a press release and issued a story on JBS reporting YouTube's censorship. And the response we received from you, the JBS audience, was overwhelming. The emails, the Facebook posts, and the response from major Jewish organizations offering to help us was not simply overwhelming, it was strengthening to everyone here at JBS, and of course, especially to me. If you are one of those countless people who emailed me or posted or texted or called expressing your outrage and affirming your appreciation for my talk, flabbergasted that anyone consider it hate speech, I want you to know you did a real mitzvah standing with me. And many of you who copied us on emails of protest you sent to YouTube, it was absolutely stunning. And it confirmed to all of us, there's an enormous community in America, Jew and non-Jew, committed to the traditional value of freedom of speech and freedom of expression in our country. And an America in which one or two of the three most powerful communication hubs of our country can censor a talk because someone didn't like what I said, or perhaps even worse, because of the word like Zionist was in the title, and any program about Zionism is flagged as hate speech by an algorithm created by some human being, it's Orwellian. It's frightening. And it's an enormous threat to America. Political censorship is an anathema to American society. And this kind of censorship should be abhorrent to every American and to every American Jew and to every liberal American Jew. And when political censorship is conflated with anti-Israel censorship, it's all part of the same sickness. And on JBS, we will fight any attempt to censure pro-Israel speech in writing, in lectures, here on JBS. And I hope I speak for the vast majority of you watching JBS right now, Jew and non-Jew alike. And permit me to close with an obvious reminder about JBS. This entire ugly episode underlines the need for there to be a strong, proud public voice on American television, setting the record straight, countering the hateful lies and distortions of the BDS crowd on college campuses, or from the mainstream biased media. It's important to have JBS. And as important as JBS has been in providing education and information about all things Jewish, today, JBS is a unique and invaluable presence on the American scene. In this current climate, JBS is needed on American television more than ever. So we're coming up on the Jewish High Holidays, a traditional time for Jews to make their tzedakah contributions. This event is a reminder of how important it is to support JBS. You know, we're just like PBS. We rely on you, our viewers, for the millions of dollars needed to produce JBS on American television. And JBS now reaches more than 45 million homes throughout the country, countless more globally online. So I hope if you've never supported JBS before, you will use your tzedakah dollars as generously as possible to send a tax-deductible donation to JBS at this holiday season. And the good news is that the Cayley family is once again participating in a matching gift. So if you're a first-time supporter to JBS, or if you haven't supported JBS in the past year, but will do so now again, or even if you've supported JBS in the past year, but you're ready to add to your support at this high holiday season, the Cayley family will match your donation dollar for dollar. If you believe JBS should be on American television, please support us now. Tax-deductible checks should be made out to JBS and mailed to JBS at Post Office Box 180, Riverdale Station, Bronx, New York, 10471. Or you can make your donation online by credit card by visiting the JBS website at jbstv.org and clicking on the word donate at the top of the page. Or you can simply call our new JBS pledge line at 833-MY-JBS-TV. And if you visit our website at jbstv.org, you'll see a list of thank yous we are honored to send you, thank you gifts, based on your level of tzedakah. And what we're really hoping is that those of you with the means to do so will send us donations of four figures or five figures and be included in the list of names we honor at the start of many JBS programs. Or who knows, maybe even a six-figure or even a seven-figure gift. But whatever you can send us, you'll be helping us to continue to produce JBS, to keep a strong, proud, pro-Israel, pro-Jewish voice on American television. And to all of you who've supported JBS, and to all of you who continue to support JBS, and to all of you who will be supporting JBS for the first time, my deepest, deepest thanks. But in closing, I invite any one of you who wishes to be in touch with me with any thought you may have about my commentary, please feel free to email me at rabbigolub@jbstv.org, and I will do my best to answer you. My thanks, as always, to our director, Sloan Copeland, associate director, Dara Golub, technical support from Michael Paley, transmission manager, John McDevitt, and to JBS senior producer, Carol Lilienthal. And this time, a very special thank you to all of you in our JBS viewing family. I appreciate you enormously. Until the next time, I'm Mark Golub. Be well, my friends.